Right now, joining us on the phones, GOP political strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, our good friend Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Good morning.
Thanks for coming on today. Let's take a look real quick at midterms. A few news stories coming out, including one today, RealClearPolitics.com, and a few others have it as well. New USA Today Pew Research poll show that Republicans hold a 4-point lead in a generic congressional ballot over Democrats. What does this mean going forward? Is that 4 points a good or bad number?
Well, it's generally a good number. Republicans, I don't quite know why, but historically speaking, generally don't have a lead in the generic ballot. And of course, keep in mind that, you know, no race is generic. You have two candidates who have strengths and weaknesses, who run, you know, their own campaigns that have either, you know, gone well or not. But it gives you a sort of a sense of the feeling that the public has in terms of whether they want to see a Republican Congress or a Democratic Congress. And so, I think it's 47-43 in that poll. A 4-point lead for Republicans is positive news for Republicans. It's trending in our direction, and it is the sense that we're not just going to hold the majority in the U.S. House, but we're going to probably gain seats in the U.S. House. And so the attention then turns to the United States Senate, and you know, everyone's focusing on whether Republicans can get the majority there, and I think there's a very good chance they can do that.
If Republicans are able to take the House and take the Senate, what does that mean for the White House? What does that mean for Obama's legislative work going forward?
Well, it's going to put the president in a totally different situation, because what he's had since the Democrats have controlled the Senate is he's had Harry Reid blocking all Republican legislation that's passing the House, not even allowing it to come up for a vote or come up to the floor to be considered in the United States Senate. And so the president doesn't really have to do anything. But if you have a Republican-controlled House and Senate, you can have them pass jobs legislation, Obamacare repeal, things like that, and force the president to veto them. Now, you know, it'll be tough and perhaps impossible for the 2 years after this November to override the president, except on things that are very broadly and widely supported. But at least you know where the president stands. You're making him, you know, actually veto some of these bills, and you may be able to negotiate solutions to some of these things where everyone agrees. You know, you could also look at an example like Keystone and say, is it possible you could override the president's veto on Keystone? I mean, you know, you could foresee a possible scenario where that could happen. So it's just going to put the president on defense more. He's going to have to start actually vetoing legislation instead of letting Harry Reid do it for him.
Yeah, and you know, that could have an impact on 2016 and those candidates who are, of course, not only running for the White House, but those who are running for Congress as well, I would suspect.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, how those 2 years play out is going to impact the 2016 presidential election. I mean, there'll be a question of whether the public generally likes the direction Republicans are taking the House and Senate, or they like what the president's trying to do. I would also add that, you know, if we have the House and Senate, number one, all the appointees, including any Supreme Court nominees, would have to go through the Republican-controlled Senate. That's significant. So, you know, it's going to be a totally different situation than it's been the last few years. And yes, it is going to impact 2016 politics. You're going to have a couple sitting United States senators like Ted Cruz and Paul Marco Rubio, who I suspect will be running for president. So there's going to be a lot of politics involved as well, but it's going to be a very, very different circumstance than President Obama's had the last few years.
You know, one of the issues that will obviously be brought up again by Republicans, it seems like Democrats, they're ready to shut it down. Anytime Benghazi is brought up, they want to shut it down. They don't want to talk about this. Is this for Republicans an issue that, and I do think there are many Republicans who truly believe this is a big issue out there, and they're not just playing political games. But is this an issue where it could backfire on Republicans in any way?
You know, I think that on this particular issue, as long as Republicans are staying, you know, focused on what are the facts, what's the, all the facts out there, staying sort of in that, let's say, journalistic mode and not in sort of, I think that they're in a safe place. But generally, you know, I think people are outraged that no one's been held accountable for this, both in terms of the government, but also in terms of the investigators who perpetrated this. And it's clear the White House is definitely holding back information and wants to protect the president on this. And so, again, it's one of those things where the cover-up is probably worse than the crime. I mean, this was a terrible tragedy. It was a terrorist event. We should have protected that consulate better. We don't have a lot of information about what Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was doing at that time. We still don't know much about the president. But we do know since then, since the attack happened, that they've worked to try to minimize the political fallout from this, and that in doing so they lied to the American people. And so is there potential for sort of, you know, negative repercussions politically for Republicans? Yes, they could overplay their hand. I think that's part of why they've taken control of this away from these seven or eight committees, where it's very hard to sort of keep, you know, control it, and give it to one very serious former prosecutor in Trey Gowdy from South Carolina, who's going to manage this select committee for the next few months and really focus on this thing like a lid.
Visiting with Matt McCoviak, GOP strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Governor Rick Perry was on Meet the Press yesterday, and he was asked this, I don't know if it was an odd question, but, you know, is Texas big enough, even though he'd be running for president of the United States, but is Texas big enough for all these candidates who have ties into Texas, including Rick Perry, to run for president? Let me ask you this. Forget about everybody else, but is the stage big enough for Rick Perry and Ted Cruz to run at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, because I think they draw, in many cases, they draw from different constituencies, both in Texas and nationally. I mean, Ted is definitely playing a conservative grassroots leader game in terms of really trying to fire up activists, focusing on the Tea Party, focus on liberty, and really, you know, focusing in that area. And that's what helped him succeed in his long shot bid for the United States Senate in Texas. I think that's what he's continuing to do. Perry's been much more sort of mainstream, even. I mean, he's conservative, but he's also, I think, someone that the establishment in Texas and even the establishment nationally is comfortable with. Remember, he was chairman of the Republican Governors Association. He's on the executive committee of that organization now. He's traveled the country a lot. He's raised a lot of money for a lot of different people over the years. And so I think, you know, Perry's probably going to run as sort of an electable conservative, I think, in 2016. And I think that's going to be one of the challenges that folks like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and others are going to have to answer is how can you beat Hillary? Do you have a path to victory to beat Hillary? And everybody who's running is going to have to make that case as long as Hillary runs, because after not having the White House for 8 years, Republicans are you know, very thirsty to get it back. And so we want, as, you know, the most conservative nominee we possibly can, but we also want to make sure we have a chance to win back the White House.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, what can people find on MustReadTexas.com today and throughout the week?
Yeah, you know, two things I'm focusing on are, you know, one, there's been a lot of back and forth in the Attorney General runoff, Republican runoff for Attorney General between Dan Branch and Ken Paxton. There'll be some more news on that this week on Dan Branch and some of his conflicts. But there's been the legal case against Paxton and his filing issue with the Securities Board is now played out. So you're going to see those campaigns go back and forth. You're also now, of course, seeing a lot of attacks on the Lieutenant Governor primary between Patrick and Dewhurst. So you can find all that information at MustReadTexas.com and sign up for our daily email.
All right, Matt McCoviak, as always, thank you very much.
Take care.
Have a good one. It's Matt McCoviak. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt McCoviak at MustReadTexas as well.